Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Tuesday morning, September 18th. Good to be with you. We're having a good Tuesday, and it's a beautiful time of year, and we're praying. I know it's not so beautiful down in the Carolinas, but we're praying for people down there, and the death toll continues to rise, so it's pretty sad. And then Pennsylvania is still getting socked with rain, as well as Virginia, and hopefully they will come out of that storm soon. We'll pray for them. Coming up on the program, we'll also have an update, by the way, in the news on what's happening there. Coming up in the program right after the break in the news, we're going to be chatting with my friend Kelly Walquist and co-pilgrimage host. We are heading to Rome and all over Italy in November, and there's still room for you to join us, ladies, and we'll talk about that, as well as a beautiful conference that the Wine Ministry, Women in the New Evangelization, is hosting this weekend in New Jersey. Kelly will be joining us, and we'll also give our own thoughts and take your calls and questions about evangelization during this spiritual storm we're in right now and the challenges we face and what we can do to make a difference. And then we'll wrap up with Jared Dees from Ave Maria Press, Christ in the Classroom, a new lesson planning for heart and mind. So that is our program for today on this Tuesday morning, plus you, of course. I also want to say thanks for all the emails that we're getting here at EWTN and Ave Maria Radio, encouraging us to continue our coverage. Al Cresta and I had a long talk, as we have been having many of those since this whole thing began, or this new phase of this abuse crisis began in June, talking about where we take this forward. And right after that conversation that we had, I received a very powerful email from a listener from down south, and she described the pain of her abuse. And what she's dealing with is she never lost her faith, thanks be to God. She was able to receive counseling and find true healing in addition to going to confession and forgiving her abuser, but also by going to a beautiful retreat where she found some Catholic counseling and some great sympathy and support from her local bishop. But what she expressed in this email is one of the reasons why we need to keep this so front and center. She expressed the long-term damage that abuse does, as well as the impact the silence has on the church. She says, as ugly as this is, please keep talking about it. And she's run into, unfortunately, some Catholics in her area of the country who do not want to talk about this at all. And every time she tries to bring it up, not so much about her story, but about the problems that we need to address and need to confront head on, they run in the other direction. And she says she's found a lot more consolation in speaking with non-Catholics than Catholics, which I find very, very sad. She also says she has not lost her faith, and she will never leave the church because she knows how much she needs Jesus in the Eucharist as well as the other sacraments. And brothers and sisters, if we take a look at our first reading this morning, St. Paul reminds us that we are all part of the body of Christ, and we all have different gifts. And we need to be applying those gifts to evangelize and to make a difference. And maybe you don't feel called to join any type of a peaceful rally or a prayer event. Maybe your calling is to simply write a letter or pray and fast, or all three. Some people are starting ministries. I had an email this morning from another couple in Illinois that are starting a new Facebook page, Catholics Who Care. I'm going to try to get them on the show. But we all have a gift, or many gifts, and we all need to use them to evangelize. Now is not the time to bury those gifts. We can't bury them. We have to use them. And we need to do this especially for the victims. And we need to remember that, yes, the church did address the issue of pedophilia, and the numbers are way, way, way down. Nobody is denying that. And as a matter of fact, we thought that we had a big, big, big portion of this whole problem solved. And yet we come to find out that there's so much more and so many levels to this abuse crisis. But what's also crucial to remember is that just because we've dealt with it in one area, it doesn't mean the fallout isn't continuing. Lives have been shattered. And even those people who are speaking up and who are brave, like Faith Hakesley Johnson, who's been on this show and on EWTN News Nightly, and on my webinar talking about this, and she's now writing a book. Even though these folks, and like the woman who wrote me this morning, still have their faith, it does not mean that the fallout and the brokenness is not affecting the church. And burying our heads in the sand, and I'm not saying that you're doing this, but there are some, and this victim, this abuse victim, said that's what she's run into, that's her experience. But that's not going to solve everything or anything, as a matter of fact. It's not going to go away. So I believe what we need to do is to turn our focus now toward November and the bishops' meeting. And let's lovingly and respectfully keep writing our bishops, keep contacting them and letting them know what we would like to see and hear. And for a terrific guideline, I suggest, and we're hoping to get Monsignor Pope on again, he did a terrific piece in the Register. It's up there now, ncregister.com. I posted it yesterday on my Facebook page. He has a solid 4-point plan as to what should be addressed at the Bishops' Conference. And I highly recommend you take a look at that, and we'll be talking with Monsignor Pope, hopefully, again very soon. Then a week from tomorrow, I have another webcast coming up, and this will be part two. If you recall, last month, many of you said that you listened to it, we had a huge number of people sign on. We had Faith Hakesley Johnston and Janet Smith, Dr. Janet Smith, with us. Next week, Al Kress is going to be joining me, and hopefully we're working on getting another guest. And, you know, taking the way forward, what do we do? What are your suggestions? And what do we need to look at in November with the Bishops Conference? We didn't hear much and don't know all that much about what happened on Thursday in Rome with leaders from the USCCB who went to talk to the Holy Father. We had two or three lines, and I sensed a real frustration. This is just my own sense. From Cardinal DiNardo, who has been so strong and so outspoken and has been very firm in calling for investigations. But we didn't hear much on that meeting. Maybe, and this is pure speculation on my part as a reporter, maybe that's because not much happened. And so what do we do now? Well, we need to pray for the Holy Father and even write the Holy Father. You can do that. People write letters to him all the time. And we also need to really continue to talk lovingly with our bishops and say that we are expecting to hear some major, major things in November. And if we don't, then I don't even know what to say to that. I think there needs, and this is just my two cents, my personal opinion, I think there needs to be a national day of reparation where every diocese has a mass. And I also think there needs to be some sort of a joint statement read publicly by the bishops at the conference. And my suggestion would also be, and I've talked to victims about this and they agree, that victims should be given a platform. Maybe a half a dozen victims, 3 or 4 minutes each, to address the bishops and let them know what's on their hearts and their suggestions for change. I'm just throwing that out there. This is what I'm thinking about and talking about with other Catholics who are covering this story. So we will continue to cover this, and we appreciate your emails. And if you have any ideas, of course, you can contact us through either EWTN or Ave Maria Radio. You can also email me at ttomio@att.net. But we need to continue to talk about this, and we're not going to let this story go. This is about the life and the survival of the church. Now, not that the church is going to go away, because Jesus promised in Matthew 16 that the gates of hell shall not prevail against her. But that does not mean that we are not going to suffer and see real, real problems. As Monsignor Pope points out in his excellent article on the Register, we already see abysmal mass attendance. Less than a quarter of those who call them still identify as Catholic attend mass on a weekly basis. And that's when things were better. If we don't fight for our church and encourage our leaders to get to the bottom of this situation once and for all, it's going to look like the Catholic Church in Europe or worse. And trust me, I go to Europe all the time. You don't want that to happen. All right. It's already about 9 minutes past the hour. We have a lot of news to get through. Kelly Walquist coming up, and then also Jared Dees, Christ in the Classroom, Lesson Planning for the Heart and Mind. Let's see what's happening on a Tuesday morning. It is September 18th. 2018. Well, the Archdiocese of Santiago is saying a priest under investigation in a sex abuse of children case is now being removed by the Pope. The action involving the Reverend Christian Precht Banatos is the first resignation the Holy Father has ordered since all of Chile's bishops offered to resign back in May. The offer coming amid widespread sex abuse scandal within the church in South America and around the world. In 2012, the priest was suspended from practicing within his ministry for 5 years after the Archbishop of Santiago ordered a criminal investigation into allegations of sex abuse against him. The priest hasn't been charged with any crimes. However, Chilean authorities are telling him not to leave Santiago until their investigation is completed. The Pope appointing several Americans to take part in October's Vatican Synod on Young Adults of Faith and Vocational Discernment. Catholic News Agency reporting they will join the bishops elected as delegated to the Synod by the U.S. Bishops' Conference. In an announcement over the weekend, the Vatican saying that Francis has appointed Cardinal Supich of Chicago and Cardinal Tobin of Newark as delegates to that Synod. They're among 29 bishops appointed personally by the Pope to take part in that event. Tobin will be joined by Cardinal Daniel DiNardo, Archbishop Gomez, Archbishop Charles Chaput, Bishop Frank Caggiano, and Bishop Robert Barron, all of whom, according to a July 23rd USCCB press release, were elected by the Bishops Conference to attend the conference, after which their election was ratified by the Pope. The other big story we're following for you this morning. Florence moved on, but the flooding in North Carolina is still in immediate danger for thousands. Meteorologist Bill Caron says major rivers are still at flood stage.
Eastern North Carolina, the rivers are just about cresting in most cases. Then they're going to come down from here. The Cape Fear River is one of the biggest ones, and also the Neuse River, which, of course, that's the river that flooded New Bern with the water that came in from the Sound.
Now remnants of Hurricane Florence continuing to move up through the mid-Atlantic states. The system expected to bring heavy rain from Virginia to New York and across portions of New England. Florence is now a post-tropical cyclone. That severe weather also spawning several tornadoes in the Richmond, Virginia area. At least one person died in those storms when a building collapsed. Mark Mayfield explains President Trump is sending his condolences to families of those who have died from the hurricane.
To every family who has lost a loved one in these really devastating hurricanes and storms, all of America grieves with you.
At least 24 people were killed from the storm in the Carolinas, and at least one person died in a tornado from the storm's remnants in Virginia. Speaking at a White House event, Trump promised to do whatever it takes to keep Americans safe. The president also remarked on his administration's response to Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico last year. He said the recovery has been a tough situation, but, quote, we're winning that one big.
One person dead after a number of tornadoes, as we mentioned earlier, ripped through central Virginia. Videos have been circulating on social media from people in Chesterfield County who saw the incredible destruction.
Oh, dear, it's ripping that thing apart.
At least two tornadoes hit Chesterfield County yesterday. They were caused by the remnants of Hurricane Florence, a tornado completely destroying the Old Dominion floor warehouse on Speaks Drive, killing an unidentified male employee inside. More than two dozen people have died since Florence made landfall last week. The Senate Judiciary Committee will hold a public hearing, as Mike Bauer reports, next week regarding sexual assault allegations made against Judge Brett Kavanaugh.
Palo Alto University professor Christine Blasey Ford is the woman who claims that she and Kavanaugh were at a high school house party in the 1980s when Kavanaugh, who she said had been drinking, pinned her to a bed and groped her in an effort to pull off her clothes. Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley said, anyone who comes forward as Dr. Ford has done deserves to be heard. And President Trump reiterated, even if it meant delays, we want to go through the process. That has D.C. insiders stating that anything less than a full investigation could run the risk of delegitimizing the Supreme Court.
Meanwhile, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell slamming the way the sexual assault allegation against the Supreme Court nominee, Judge Brett Kavanaugh, has been handled. He spoke on the Senate floor yesterday.
An accusation of 36-year-old misconduct dating back to high school has been brought forward at the last minute in an irregular manner.
Brett Kavanaugh has denied allegations made against him repeatedly, both before and after the woman came forward publicly. Yesterday, he released a very strong statement in which he called it a completely false allegation and that he had never done anything like what the accuser describes to her or anyone else. Kavanaugh also saying he is more than willing to defend himself in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee in any way the committee deems appropriate. And Attorney General Jeff Sessions claiming free speech under attack on college campuses. During a forum at the Justice Department yesterday, Sessions called it nonsense.
If disturbing someone's comfort is the standard for banning speech, then anybody can stop anyone else from speaking their mind by acting offended.
Sessions citing a survey of some 450 colleges and universities that found 40% maintain speech codes that substantially infringe on our constitutionally protected rights. 15 minutes past the hour. Phone lines are open, 877-573-7825. We'll be right back to talk about evangelizing during the storm, before, during, and after, actually, and a great opportunity to strengthen yourself as a woman of Christ in the church. My friend Kelly Walquist from Women in the New Evangelization is up next. Stay tuned. Always be ready to give a defense for the hope that is within you, but do it with gentleness and reverence. And great, great line from Scripture, St. Peter. 1 Peter 3:15, I believe. 877-573-7825. Someone who does that so well is my dear friend and sister in the Lord and my co-host for many a pilgrimage. We're going on our third annual wine and shrine tour to Italy coming up in November with EWTN contributor and amazing man of God, Monsignor Figueredo, who's going to be leading the way and has some special events planned for us, especially in Rome. We'll give you the details and where you can find out all the information. But Kelly, first, I know that in your ministry, Women in the New Evangelization, there's been a lot of discussion going on regarding the crisis that we're in. And the first reading today, I think, was very, very important for us to understand that we all have, and this actually ties into the letter you just sent out to those on your email list, that we all have gifts that we can use to make a difference. What are your thoughts in terms of what's going on right now and how we apply those gifts? Thanks for joining me.
Oh, good to be here. Good morning. And when I read the reading this morning, I couldn't believe it. I thought, this is just what God does all the time, right? Here we're going to be talking about what's on my heart, and we open it up, and there he is saying, here's what should be on your heart.
Right.
It's like, oh, my goodness, you're so right. Yeah, we are really struggling. I mean, it's a tough time right now, and we all know that, and we're all feeling that. Anxiety, I think, is one thing, and that sense of sometimes betrayal and anger and, you know, kind of feeling lost. And so what we decided to do at Wine, Women in the New Evangelization, is we sent out an email the other day saying, it's time to bring out our reserve wine. You know, it's our reserve wine. It is something that is special. And we bring it out at a critical time, and it is our intentional commitment to pray for a sister in need. That's what we usually do with our reserve wine. We have a prayer team. And, you know, we all need prayer all the time, but sometimes we just need a little bit more. I mean, we're going through something hard, we're struggling, we're suffering. We've got our sisters in Christ who can support us. Well, now it's not just one sister, but it's the whole body of Christ that needs our intentional prayer. So we're coming together during this time that the church is going through crisis and purification, and we are going to unite in prayer and fasting. And we're doing that on Wednesdays, from every Wednesday from now until Advent. So you can go to our website, catholicvineyard.com, and you can, you know, either sign up to get our emails. We'll have there's a landing page there too, so you can join us on Wednesdays for prayer and fasting. But it's really, I think that's really important for all of us to do and to do together. It's one of those gifts we're given, you know, for many people are given that gift of prayer or intercessory prayer. But this kind of prayer and this fasting is really for us. You know, it really is for us to grow in holiness, which right now in a time of crisis and suffering, what a great opportunity mm-hmm. for us to really grow in holiness. This is where the saints are made, really made. So fasting isn't for God, you know, it's for us. It changes us. It breaks off our deep attachment to the world. It gives us growth and self-control, fixes our attention more fully on the Lord. It helps us focus our life on the most important priorities, and it purifies our heart. In essence, it is us repenting, and the Catechism calls that reorienting our life. And this is really important for each one of us. And kind of in keeping with today's reading, we all have been given gifts, and some have been given gifts of prophecy, and some have been, you know, we go through that whole list of gifts we've been given. But I don't want people to feel like stagnant in their gifts. I look at myself today and think, wow, there are gifts God is using in me that he's been cultivating for years that 10 years ago I would never have stepped out in this gift. And so I think we have to be open to that prompting of the Spirit, not get too settled in like, well, my gift is, you know, music. So all I'm going to do is sing. You know, God may be calling you to do something. And sometimes it takes something like this, a crisis in the church where that gift is ignited in you.
Right, right. And he may be calling us to stretch ourselves in ways that we don't expect and to move, as I say in my second chapter of my book, Beyond Sunday, move beyond that comfort zone, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, look at Catherine of Siena. I think of her, you know, we see her, and if you read her letters that she wrote to the bishops and cardinals and to the Pope, and how she poured everything into that. And then you learn about her. That's a big step out of her comfort zone. You know, God had been cultivating something in her for a while. It ignites at such a time that it is needed, and look what happens. So I think we always need to be open to that, how the Spirit can and does work within us. And at the same time, be united. I mean, we really need to be united, and that's why with WINE, Women in the New Evangelization, we're doing this together. We are committing to Wednesdays to pray and to fast together. So we have this sense of, well, it's unity. It's what the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. does. Is he's the unifier. And what does the evil one want right now?
Division. Confusion.
Yeah. Confusion, division, mm-hmm. anger, questioning, suspect, you know, all those things that quick judgment on someone. And it's like, well, let's step back, unite as women, and enter into prayer and fasting. I mean, this is we're just renewing an ancient and extremely important Christian tradition, you know. One of the things I do want to tell the listeners, though, is that the emails we're sending out on Wednesday, we have our new WINE Wednesday emails that have been going out for years, and those are like quick little 300 words inspiration, kind of get you through the week. And then along with that, for the next 11 weeks, we'll have one scripture passage that you can meditate on for that day of your prayer. You can choose to if you so choose to. And then we'll have one little words of wisdom from one of the great women of WINE. And I know this Wednesday is Mary Healy. Oh. And I was just kind of...
Our very own Mary Healy there. From Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit, just saying.
Yes. Yep. Yes, I got to give her a little shout out because I was actually quoting from her on her 5 points of fasting. I love that. So she does this quick little 3-minute video of why do we fast? And, you know, she's got another video coming up in the next few weeks of how does the Holy Spirit work in and through the church? So it is, you know, it's not just that we're called together to pray and fast. We're called to grow in our faith and to learn. And, you know, most people think fasting, well, we just do that at Lent. And, you know, well, maybe I'll lose 20 pounds or whatever. Why do mm-hmm. we do it? But to hear, well, here's why we do this. And, you know, like I said, we have to reorient our lives. You know, we're caught up in the chaos and all the noise. I know there's a book out there about that somewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
thanks for the plug.
You're welcome. But we're caught up in all that. So this is the time to step back and to focus on what's important, and that's Jesus.
And one of the things I think, too, is to run toward the church, not away from it. And I want to talk about that when we come back, because you have a beautiful event coming up in New Jersey this weekend. And also, I think the trip that you and I are doing with an incredible spiritual leader, one of our top contributors to EWTN, the amazing Monsignor Anthony Figueredo, can really strengthen you as a sister in Christ to learn more about the faith. You're going to be spending time with St. Catherine of Siena and other saints to help you come back home and really find out those gifts and how to make a difference. We'll be right back.
Madonna University is hosting Catholic College Night Tuesday, September 18th. Catholic College Night is an annual college fair where students and their parents can personally meet with recruiters from Catholic colleges all around the area. Visit with over 20 schools in one place, have your questions answered, and hear about the great programs and scholarships they offer to help you make the right choice. To learn more about Catholic College Night on Tuesday, September 18th, visit CatholicCollegeNight.org. That's CatholicCollegeNight.org. Father James Conlon, pastor of St. Francis in Ann Arbor, and Steve Ray are leading a wonderful pilgrimage to Mexico, November 26th through December 5th. Highlights include climbing Tepeyac Hill, where Our Lady appeared to save Juan Diego, touring of the Shrine of Guadalupe, and exploring the pyramids built 2,000 years ago. This journey will visit safe and secure areas and be filled with history, beauty, and plenty of opportunities to grow in your faith. Call St. Francis of Assisi in Ann Arbor to learn more, 734-821-2100.
Welcome to Advanced Dentistry Center family. This is Dr. Metti, and our team strives to treat you like family in a loving and compassionate way as we focus on serving you in a Christ-like manner. We do this by emphasizing prevention and general well-being for a lifetime. Our private practice is small, personal, state-of-the-art, and innovative, with the goal to educate and motivate our patients in improving their oral health. It is through a partnership with you that you will achieve the goals for your smile. Advanced Dentistry is serious about the level of care we provide, with attention to details and an exceptional level of care, skill, and judgment. We are thrilled for the opportunity to serve you.
Dr. Matthew and the team invite you to visit them at AdvancedDentistryCenter.com or call them at 248-594-9592. That's 248-594-9592. AdvancedDentistryCenter.com.
Hope you're having a blessed Tuesday, September 18th. 877-573-7825. Chatting with Kelly Wahlquist, author, speaker, and evangelist. Women in the New Evangelization. The word WINE is an acronym for that beautiful ministry. The website is CatholicVineyard.com. And we're talking about evangelizing in the midst of the storm. Not just, let's say, a personal storm or someone may be going through and to whom you're trying to witness, but overall in the storm that we're in the midst of right now that is not going away anytime soon. And Kelly was talking about the beautiful emails they have that you can sign up for and the newsletters and all the great resources at CatholicVineyard.com. Kelly, I also want to mention in terms of evangelization, to really get that shot in the arm, to remind us of how we can share our gifts. You have a beautiful event going on this weekend on the East Coast, correct?
We do, in Somerville, New Jersey. And I love just even the fact that you said that that we are in the storm, because the theme of our conference is an anchor of hope. And what do you need more in the storm? You need an anchor. And Jesus is our anchor. And we need hope right now. I mean, we need to cling to that hope. And this is such a beautiful event to come together with your sisters in Christ and to be fed in your faith with food, with fun, with laughter, with joy, and to see the beauty and those striving for holiness. You know, I think we're so surrounded by the negativity, but all of a sudden when you see these women next to you, and we're in that same boat, and in one sense we're all in that same boat, and we need to have this hope in the Lord. And so we've got a great conference. It's on Saturday, September 22nd, at Immaculate Conception in Somerville, New Jersey, from 8 a.m. to 3:30 p.m., and you can still register. You can go to wineconference.org and register right on there. Or always CatholicVineyard.com. You can find all our information. And we've got some great and hopeful speakers. I mean, people who really speak about what it's like to live through a storm and to come out with that joy, that hope in the Lord. And I know our sister, all of these are all our friends here, but Kitty Cleveland
love her.
I know, she's so good. If only she could sing.
Really?
She'd be the total package.
Yeah, exactly.
No, she's wonderful. Such a beautiful, beautiful singer and speaker. And she's doing a talk called For Freedom, Christ Has Set Us Free.
Mm.
And it really talks about looking toward Jesus and his gaze upon you as opposed to what the world sees in you. And it's powerful. I know you've heard her give the talk. We also have Leanne Thiemann, who is one of the authors of many Chicken Soup for the Soul. And you want to talk about hope. I mean, holy buckets. This woman went to buy a dozen cupcakes, and that's all she wanted. She just wanted to buy a dozen cupcakes, and she ended up being part of Operation Baby Lift, airlifting 300 babies out of Vietnam when Saigon was falling to communism. You want to talk about God, you know, igniting a gift in you that you didn't know you had, that mm-hmm. really takes courage and perseverance and hope in the Lord. I mean, just a powerful, powerful story. And then we have our local, Lori Anthony, who is just this dynamic spitfire of a woman. And when you see what she's gone through in her life, she's four beautiful children, all of them that had incredible heart problems, and you see how she lives each and every day and the hope that she has out there, it's just so inspiring. So, I mean, you've got these great, great speakers. You've got great music. We've got confession and adoration. And our Father Uvald will be there, also from Rwanda.
Wow.
Healing priest. And if you are not familiar with Father Uvald, you absolutely need to hear his story. The Secret of Peace and Forgiveness, The Secret of Peace is the documentary. And he's such a healing priest. And, you know, when he does a healing mass in Rwanda, 80,000 people show up. And so for such a time as this, how great to have all these women coming together, uniting in prayer and in inspiration, and then also in healing. I mean, this is powerful. This is what the church needs, us striving for holiness. This is it. So I want to encourage and invite your listeners to come join us in Somerville, New Jersey, on September 22nd. We've still got room. We'll make room for you. We'll scooch
and the website
over
again, Kel?
Wineconference.org. That'll give you all the information, hotels and everything out there.
Okay, wineconference.org. And also, because the weather doesn't look like it's going to be that great this weekend, especially on the East Coast, I mean, why not go to this conference? And you'll be cozy-ozy inside the church with some great ladies of God, and also with sisters in Christ, and you can share and have fun and laugh and cry and just get closer to the Lord all at the same time. Speaking of which, another encouragement we want to give, ladies, this morning is to join us. We still have room for Wine and Shrine in November. It's our third annual, and this trip, it gets better each year. Sometimes they say, how are we going to top this? But this year we're doing something really unique. We're starting up north, and we're starting in Milano. We're going to learn about St. Augustine. We're also going to learn about St. Gianna Beretta Mola. We're going to go to her home in Magenta and see all about her life, and also hear from her daughter, Dr. Emanuela. And then we're also going to have a wine tasting in Bellagio on Lake Como. And you've never been to Lake Como. I can't wait to take you there. I know you and I are going to go in a day early so I can show you Lake Como. It's just, I mean, the whole, you know how I feel about Italy. The whole country is magical. But Lake Como, when you have the mountains and the colorful houses reflecting on the water, it's just a thing of beauty. Then we're going to Siena for Catherine and Florence for all the great saints there. And then we're going back down to Rome. And I was mentioning to you during the break, Cal, I had a woman comment on my Facebook page that she's so sad about everything going on. She's so heartbroken that she doesn't want to go anywhere near Rome or the Vatican. And I said, honey, no, it should be just the opposite. I said, you always, always, always pray for our Holy Father, pray for our bishops, but you need to get closer to Rome and to the Vatican and to learn about church history even in a bigger way, and to know what these saints, like you mentioned St. Catherine earlier, but what she did and how she came out of her, you know, that cloistered, you know, area that she was with the Lord and talking to the Lord every day. And he said, okay, now you're going to go out and do some things a little bit differently. This is how you get strengthened for the journey, by learning about, looking at it from a big picture. We tend to look at this storm and think that, oh my goodness, this is just horrible. Nothing like this has ever happened before. Well, that's completely wrong, because the church has been through similar times and in many ways even worse times in its 2,000-year history. So this is a way to strengthen yourself and to be with other sisters of Christ and just to really have Mass every day in these beautiful basilicas and churches. I don't know what else to say about it, so I'll just turn it over to you. I'll probably just said everything, but go ahead. I'm sure you have
more. You just said it all. No, I could not agree. I couldn't agree more. I really couldn't. You're right. We think like, oh, no one's ever gone through this again. It's like when the next generation comes up and like, oh, with their wild music, they're going to, you know, and their long hair.
Oh, those kids these days.
Those kids these days. No one's ever experienced this. And the church has. The church has experienced this over and over again. I mean, this is nothing new. I cannot think of a better place for me to be than walking in the footsteps of Catherine Siena and hearing what she went through and standing where she stood and praying where she prayed and learning her story. You know, all of those Saint Helena, Saint Monica, I mean, the different Saint Agnes, you know, we talked about Scholastica when we went to Norcia. All of them and the trials that they had to face. I mean, these are our sisters in Christ that we can learn from. But not only can we learn from them, we can deepen our relationship with them and pray to them for their intercession to help us. I mean, Catherine's looking down at us right now, you know, as I'm calling up to her like, help me.
Help.
And she's saying,
right.
Been there, done there.
Yeah,
been there,
yeah.
Done that. I got you, girl.
All right, listen, we got to run, Kel. Thanks so much. Again, the conference this weekend in New Jersey in Somerville, and also our beautiful wine and shrine tour coming up in November, CatholicVineyard.com. And go to AveMariaRadio.net and scroll down to Pick Your Pilgrimage for all the details. You can also call Corporate Travel at 313-565-8888 to ask for Rochelle. We'll be right back.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Discover what others say about Franciscan University of Steubenville. Forbes ranks Franciscan University in the top 10% of all U.S. colleges. U.S. News and World Report puts Franciscan in the top tier of Midwest colleges. And the Cardinal Newman Society says Franciscan University provides a faithful Catholic education. Discover a university that is academically excellent and passionately Catholic. Discover Franciscan University of Steubenville. Find out more at franciscan.edu.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Do you want an affordable health care option that enables you to protect your family and live your Catholic faith? CMF Curo is the Catholic health care ministry that works to bring health to the whole person, spirit, mind, and body. CMF Curo allows you to share health costs with other Christians and is more affordable than health insurance. Go to mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare, fully alive.
Catholic Connection is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical. And in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
Having a blessed Tuesday morning, September 18th, flying through the month of September already. My goodness, already half over. 877-573-7825. I'd love to hear from you on the phone. Jared Dees, the new book, Christ in the Classroom, Lesson Planning for the Heart and Mind, from Ave Maria Press. And boy, oh boy, I think one of the best ways that we can approach this crisis and any crisis we're facing, whether it be in our lives, Jared, or in the church, is to know our faith and to get to know the Lord even more intimately and strongly in that personal relationship with Him. What say you? Good morning. I'm supposing that that's kind of what the book is about, right?
Yes, it is. Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned that, the crisis, because I was very, you know, our first classes were meeting now, if you're a catechist and if you're back in the classroom as a teacher. And I think a lot of people were very worried about what we were going to say. And I tell you, meeting with those kids for the first time, it was so refreshing just to see, you know, they're discovering the faith for the first time. This is new. This is fresh. You know, they're not fully really aware of what's going on. They just want to meet and learn about God, about Jesus, and how He can, you know, encounter them in their own lives.
And so one of the ways to do that, I know this is unique, you're talking about using Lectio Divina, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
All right, so explain that a little bit in detail.
Yeah, so someone who's not familiar with Lectio Divina, it's a practice that we can use to read the Bible in a prayerful way. So we're not just reading to understand what the Bible says and kind of analyzing what St. Paul was trying to say or what the gospel evangelists were trying to say. We're really prayerfully asking God, what does He want to say to us as I read this today? I mean, it's something that you can do if you do the daily readings before daily Mass or just in the mornings in general, just going through a process of asking, what does this say? What does it say to me? What can I say in response to the Lord in prayer? And I found a few questions that were basically describing the process of Lectio Divina by Pope Benedict XVI. He wrote it in Verbum Domini, and there was really succinct, really super helpful for me in using to understand the Bible. And I thought, well, what if we applied this to learning anything, just to teaching anything in catechesis? What would that look like? And I found it to be very refreshing, and as I've shared it with a lot of catechists and religion teachers, a way of presenting the faith that isn't focused only on what we believe, what we teach as a church, but how we can personally interact with it. How can we personally connect with the different teachings? And I know I've found, and so many people have found, that when you focus not so much on an education alone, but also an encounter with Christ in the class or in any conversation you have about the teachings of the church, it can be a beautiful, beautiful experience.
And I think, too, and by the way, if you're just joining us on Catholic Connection on a Tuesday morning, we're chatting with Jared Dees. The book is Christ in the Classroom, Lesson Planning for the Heart and Mind from Ave Maria Press. What I find so comforting about that is that when I understood this from my spiritual director, and he encouraged me to do Lectio Divina a long time ago, because my husband and I read the Bible together every single day. We do the mass readings every day. Is to the whole idea, because I'm a very visual person, I think because of my training as a TV reporter, I was trained to look around and to see all kinds of details and to notice what's happening, because I had to then turn around normally maybe 5-6 minutes later, even less, go live on the air and describe what was happening before me. So I find it very easy to kind of look around and to notice and to think about things. And having been to the Holy Land, it allows me to, if I get to a particular reading, to say, okay, I know this location. Let me go there again and let me see what's happening, let's say, in Caesarea Philippi or in Jerusalem or at the Primacy of Peter, those kinds of things. Now, maybe the children won't have that kind of detail, obviously, but for them to have that freedom to think about how Jesus may be speaking to them in that particular setting in Scripture could be huge.
Yes, I'm so glad you said that. I absolutely agree. And that slowing down and having young people focus on those details, you know, the emotions, the feelings, the senses, it can really drive the point home. So, you know, it helps us descend from the mind down to the heart. And what I advise in the book is not just with Scripture, but with any stories. So if you're going to tell a story about a saint, if you're going to tell a story about your own life, to really help them get in touch with those details so that they can make connections in their own personal lives as well. And maybe to think about them, you know, to slow down and ask them to think about their own memories, to try to come back to their own memories as they relate to whatever the topic is of the day, or maybe their hopes for the future and that kind of thing. To really slow down and focus on those details can be really an emotional experience, not just an intellectual experience.
So what's been the response to the book so far, Jared?
You know, I've been talking about this process for the last year or so, a little more than a year now, and so many people have said to me they're so grateful to have this process, that they wish they would have heard it when they first started teaching, because it's such a great reminder that it's not just about what we're learning, but it's also about an encounter, a relationship with God. And we all want that, but we get so tied up in teaching the book and so tied up in all the things that we need to get across. And this applies whether it's RCIA or adult faith formation or any kind of small group meetings. We want to get to all the things that we want to learn and teach, but we don't take the opportunity to slow down and, you know, think of prayer as an actual learning experience rather than something that we squeeze in the beginning or the end of a session. You know, it's a reminder that this is what we're supposed to be doing. This is the basics of how we're supposed to be presenting things to young people and to people in general about our Catholic faith.
And, you know, if you don't start with that relationship with Christ, it's going to be more about, quote-unquote, religion than relationship. All the teachings, the beautiful teachings that we have in the faith, start to make a whole heck of a lot more sense when you fall head over heels in love with Christ.
I mean, think of all the people that I'm sure you've talked to, you have encountered in your own daily lives, and they'll say, well, I've had 12 years of Catholic school, and I already know this. And if they might know the basics, but they don't have that relationship, and that's why it's so hard to have those conversations about what we believe, because you're absolutely right. That encounter, that relationship is what drives and motivates someone to want to learn more and discover more about their faith.
877-573-7825. We're having a great conversation with Jared Dees about his book, Christ in the Classroom. How do we get the book?
You know, it's available on Amazon, of course, Barnes & Noble. Also, Ave Maria Press is the publisher, and you can find it on their website as well.
And is it mainly for catechists, or can anyone, let's say a homeschooling parent, can they use this as well, Jared, do you think?
Yeah, I have a lot of homeschooling parents that use the resources on my website, religionteacher.com, and the book as well has also been used by people. They asked me, yes, absolutely, you can absolutely apply this in the way that you're structuring your lessons and the way that you're talking to your kids about their faith.
And I think now, too, to have children, especially younger folks, entering into that real solid relationship with the Lord, because it's going to enable them to be more open to the teachings and strengthen them, especially right now if they get wind, God forbid. And it's up to every parent, and I've been talking about this a lot on the show, too, with Dr. Meg Meeker and Dr. Greg Popcheck, about how much do we tell our children about what's happening right now. I mean, kids are smart, you know, and they're very technologically savvy, so they're probably going to pick up some of it depending on their age. But as long as they are rooted in Christ and you can talk with them about this, and that's up to every parent in terms of how much they share, that is going to make the difference as well, to make sure that they don't get steered away or pulled away from the church and any negativity or anything like that.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think, you know, one of the best things we can do is continue to, I think you just said this a moment ago with Kelly on, just like you would go to, you know, this is the time to really strengthen your relationship with Rome and the church, and you know, also just be more present as much as possible in the parish and connecting with the priests, of the pastors and associate pastors that you have in your parish, connecting with the staff and with the leaders, the volunteers, and just being, you know, not afraid to bridge those relationships and be present.
Yeah. And so, again, we can get the book through AveMariaPress.com. The book is Christ in the Classroom, Lesson Planning for the Heart and the Mind. Jared, thanks. Keep up the great work and tell all my friends at Ave Maria, and also published our book, Intimate Graces, by me and Deacon Dom, that I said hello and that I really appreciate all that they do. Again, the book is Christ in the Classroom, Lesson Planning for the Heart and Mind. We'll be right back on a Tuesday morning. I want to share with you a powerful email I received overnight from an abuse victim, and why entering into that relationship with Christ and helping others and learning more about your faith and to be strong for abuse victims, for all of us, to share your gifts, to learn your gifts, and maybe to stretch a little bit, why that is so important, especially now. We'll be right back on a Tuesday morning. Stay tuned.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds don't, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can consider investing in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. The advisor invests in securities only if they meet the fund's investment and religious requirements, and as such, the return may be lower or higher than if the advisor made decisions based solely on investment considerations. The fund's method of security selection may or may not be successful, and the fund may underperform or outperform the stock market as a whole. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. For a prospectus, which includes objectives, risk, fees, charges, expenses, and other information that should be read and considered carefully before investing, call 1-866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
18th century Detroit comes alive at Rendezvous, a French-Canadian and Native American festival at St. Anne Parish in Detroit on September 22nd and 23rd. Enjoy French-Canadian and Native American live music, dancing, food, a beer and wine tent, artisans, historical reenactors, and more. Bring your friends and family and rendezvous at St. Anne's. For details, see ste-anne.org. That's ste-anne.org.
On the next Cresta in the Afternoon.
What is the biggest lie in the history of Christianity? Matthew Kelly is exposing it, and I'll tell you, it has to do with holiness, happiness, authenticity, and excellence. In this time of crisis, we need to hear this more than ever. Also coming up, we'll talk with Tim DeLaura about the foundation of classical education and Brian Milligan on the economy.
Cresta in the Afternoon from 4 to 6 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
Having a blessed day. It is a Tuesday morning. It's September 18th, moving so quickly, way too quickly for me, through the month of September with fall right around the corner. And just a reminder to go to CatholicVineyard.com for more information on the beautiful women's conference coming up this weekend in New Jersey, and also our wine and shrine tour can also be found on AveMariaRadio.net. Scroll down to Pick Your Pilgrimage. We'd love to have you join us, ladies. And it might be a nice gift, guys, for your wife for Christmas or anniversary, or maybe a daughter or a sister or your mom. But check it out, AveMariaRadio.net. Scroll down to our pilgrimage page. I also want to thank all of you who are writing us and encouraging us to keep this story front and center. And we're trying to do our best with this at EWTN and Ave Maria Radio. And we have so many news outlets that are covering this, including EWTN News Nightly, Raymond Arroyo's great job that he's doing on the world over, of course, as he always does. National Catholic Register, which we mentioned earlier, and the terrific piece that Monsignor Pope put up his blog. I think it was just posted yesterday. Really, really well done, full of all kinds of great information. And then Catholic News Agency, EWTNnews.com. And, of course, our radio programs, including Crest in the Afternoon and The Doctor's In with Dr. Ray Guarendi and Open Line, taking your questions, and all of these different shows that we have to help you deal, and, of course, Women of Grace and Jeanette's beautiful ministry, to help you deal with all of these things that we're going through. And we need to keep this front and center because we love our church, and we want the church to be healed, and we love our shepherds. And we pray for them, and we want to see them continue to move forward with addressing this crisis. And sometimes I think we tend to think, if we look back and see how this issue was addressed, and that a lot of the problems with pedophilia were addressed very strongly and effectively, that we tend to kind of maybe relax and think everything's okay. But what this summer of suffering, I think, has showed us is not just the fallout and the long-term effect of this and the patterns, unfortunately, that were established decades ago in the church to allow the secrets to continue. I think what we're seeing is that the fallout is long term, especially when you have a conversation, as those of us on the front lines of the story have had with many a victim in this situation. Although the victims that we've spoken to who have reached out to us, who are regular EWTN and Ave Maria radio listeners and supporters, are strong in their faith and have run to the church as opposed to running away from the church and the sacraments, you can hear in their voices, in their words, that the impact of this goes on and it affects relationships and it alters lives. So we can't act as if this is over with, even if we weren't seeing this horrid stuff that's coming out now seemingly every single day. So this beautiful sister in the Lord wrote to me overnight, and she said this is a cry for help. And what she's saying is she's trying to get out of darkness with this subject matter. And what's happening is, even though she has forgiven her abuser and has come to terms with what happened when she was 8 years old and she was abused by a priest, she still is feeling a lot of pain, and there's a lot of this that's coming back when you hear about these stories and the lawsuits and all the things that are happening right now in the McCarrick situation and the silence from Rome that continues. So they're relapsing, a lot of folks, in some ways. And she's asking us to continue to talk about the story, and she's also speaking out to other Catholics not to try to just shut people down when they talk about this. And unfortunately, she says that she finds herself alone with the Lord in church because fellow Catholics in her part of the country have rejected rather than accepted her when she's tried to reach out. And not that she's sitting there constantly talking about her situation. From what I can get from her email, I don't have time to read the whole thing, but she's trying to talk to them about working together to address this problem in the church. And instead, they're turning her back on her. She says, "A very weak, shattering soul that needs a body of Christ, a people of Christ in the church, to keep me strong from the evil that I was offered up to keep this a secret," she says, "is keeping it in darkness where evil plays. I want to bring it to God's love where evil will run from. The problem I have in the area where she's living," she says, "I try to shine light on this darkness by speaking the truth to Catholics, but they either change the subject or walk away. When I speak the truth to non-Catholics," she says, "they are loving and compassionate." And she says, "You know, I can understand, I'm not doing this and nor will I ever, but I can understand the pain that others have gone through who were treated the same way and have walked away from the church. I will never walk away," she says, "from Mass and the Eucharist. Now the Catholic people of our Catholic Church mostly have turned their backs on me, which makes part of my shattered, weak soul fall off again. I shall continue to go to Mass and receive the Eucharist, even if I am alone, except for God." And she says, "Even though it's hard to hear, the victims need your love and support to live through this sadness." So she's writing me with a very heavy heart. At the same time, she has forgiven her abuser, she's clinging to the church, and she's asking fellow Catholics from the bottom of her heart to not run away from this issue. And as you heard Kelly talking about, we all have particular gifts. And maybe the Lord is calling you to do a little bit more with this situation than you might have been willing to do a few weeks ago. Maybe you've been praying and fasting, and we all should be doing that, but maybe the Lord is asking you to write a letter or to put something in the bulletin or to talk to your pastor about doing another homily on this or to put something forward out there regarding the upcoming Bishops' Conference. We are going to continue to shine a light on this story, and we hope that you'll help us do just that. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.